Welcome to Wine About History. I'm your host, Max Hamill. And with me as usual is Patty.
Hello, everyone.
And today we are talking about the Hoosac Tunnel, which is a famous, haunted piece of engineering. And we are drinking Finca Las Moras, Cabernet Sauvignon for Argentina. I gotta say, this is the first time I'm gonna give wine a bad review.
It's just not our thing. It's just very heavy.
It's very heavy and powerful. It has kind of, it's sour. If you like sour wines, get the Fincas Las Moras.
It might be somebody's cup of tea. It's just not my cup of tea. It might be fabulous with the meal, like a big old steak in front of you to kind of cut through the richness of the wine, or the wine will cut through the richness of the steak, either way. But to me, just to sip, nope.
I think I taste lemon, even.
Yeah.
I taste lemon. And if that's your thing, get after it. But
have at it.
But I, you know, it's just because we like fruity red blends and sharp Cabernet and Sauvignon Blancs. And
yeah, this just a little heavy for me. Like I said, might be fine with the meal, but just for me personally, pouring a glass and drinking it, not for me.
This is the wine version of being punched in the face.
Yeah.
With flavor.
But as you notice, I'm still drinking.
We're still drinking. It's here.
It's not like I dislike it. It's just, you just know what you're getting into.
Yeah, yeah. And we decanted it when we first drank it. We try to filter and decant stuff whenever we first get it. And I don't taste the difference, filtered and decanted. So.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know we filtered it. I thought we just decanted it.
I filtered it.
Oh, okay.
When you weren't looking.
Oh, okay. I wasn't looking behind your back. I filtered it. But speaking of unfiltered, what have you got for us tonight?
So I've got the hauntings as well as just the general history of the Hoosac Tunnel. Now it cuts straight through the Hoosac Mountains of Montana. It's 5 miles long and has a bit of a checkered history. It actually claimed so many lives in the construction, the workers who carved it called it the Bloody Pit.
Ew.
Work began in 1851 and wasn't done until 1874.
That's a very long time to build a tunnel. That's just years. That's like half a, quarter of a lifetime.
Yeah, that's 23 years.
Yeah. Wow.
And there was some massive building project. 2 million tons of rock had to be carved out of the mountain.
Wow.
And they used this giant boring machine. They actually kept breaking them. They kept breaking these boring machines or these huge circular carvers. It kept snapping, so they had to do most of it by hand, dynamite, and nitroglycerin.
Can I just ask, why did they want to do this?
Oh, that's a very good question.
Because it sounds like a lot of work.
Sounds like a lot of work because they cut it through it for railroads, to get railroad supplies from one town to another, so they wouldn't have to go around the mountains. It was such a thing to do.
Mountains are big. It's a lot of
They're
work
hard to
going
travel.
Around.
So this saved tons of time. Possibly, if you remember back then in the 1800s, you couldn't order anything off of Amazon. So things you're shipping were food, medicine.
Essentials.
You couldn't get, if there's smallpox outbreak, you had to get the vaccine there now. And it had to go by train because that was the fastest thing. So, or if someone needed insulin, you had to get through train. So there was tons of train tunnels being built at this time. In fact, they overbuilt them. But
hopefully this wasn't one of them. They needed this one.
They still use it. 40 trains go through it a day to this day.
Super.
Yeah, so it's still being used.
So all of it was not in vain.
It was very necessary. Now, something they use called nitroglycerin. It's very unstable. It's the reason dynamite was actually invented. It's basically a liquid that if you drop it, explodes, but it was the only practical exploding tool they had.
So who was the lucky guy that got to carry that around?
Bob.
Sorry, Bob. You do the short straw. You carry the nitroglycerin.
Bob the new guy.
I would like scoot on my fanny. I wouldn't even walk with that stuff. I'd be like, I'm just going to crawl while I'm...
And there was like very little standards back then. For things, a lot of times, your personal standard was the standard. So some people would just wrap it up in cheesecloth and throw it in a wooden box.
Sure.
Yeah. So So these machines broke after like 10 feet, so they had to do a lot of it by hand. And the first bad event happened in March of 1865. Three explosive experts named Ned Brinkman, Billy Nash, and Ringo Kelly were using nitroglycerin to blast the tunnel. They set a blast of the volatile liquid, you know, in its nestled place and rained back the safety of their little bunker they had to protect them. Kelly outpaced the other two, and as Brinkman and Nash ran forward, all of a sudden their world exploded around them. Kelly set off the charge too early.
Oh, way to go, doofus.
Yeah. This is just the beginning, by the way.
What's that?
This is just like, that's just one incident out of many. Aww. People were dying left and right building this tunnel.
Sad.
And they're okay because it was so important. Like, long-term transportation is so important. But not how long after this, Kelly actually disappeared. Then a year later, his body was found strangled inside the tunnel, not far from the side of the
accident. So someone was pissed.
Someone was pissed, and the sheriffs investigated, and they couldn't really find anyone. In fact, the sheriffs were kind of like, screw it, he deserved that. Well, his family members probably killed him or something. But the tunnel workers came to their own conclusions. They believed that Kelly was murdered by the vengeful spirits of Brinkman and Nash.
Okay, sure. Somebody didn't want to take responsibility. But we'll just blame it on the ghosts. We knew Bob, who usually carried the nitroglycerin, was responsible, but we'll just say, yeah, their ghosts came back and did it. And everybody will buy that.
Well, back then people did buy that. And it's obviously not supernatural, because there are some things that happen, like the Dyatlov Pass incident. That's really strange. There's some things that are just like beggarly, but it's obviously these guys' buddies grabbed this guy, killed him a year afterwards on purpose as revenge, and threw him by the tunnel.
For sure.
But things got really bad during the horrible central shaft incident. So on October 17th, 1864, workers were digging in the tunnel. This tunnel had this exhaust shaft for ventilation. It was 1,028 feet long.
Holy
huge.
Cow.
It went from the top of the mountain into the whole tunnel.
Wow.
And then a candle in the hoist ignited naphtha gas, which had leaked from a gasometer lamp, which exploded the whole area, set the hoist on fire, and it collapsed into the shaft. Four men near top of the shaft escaped, but 13 men working 538 feet below were trapped by the naphtha and the pieces of iron. And the pumps that were in there all also destroyed.
Ooh.
And the pumps were keeping out water, so the area began to fill with water.
Ooh.
And the next day, before I get any closer, a little bit of sadness warning. This is very sad what happened next. A worker named Mallory was lowered into the shaft and by rope. And then he got overcome with the fumes from the gas. They hoisted him back up, and he allegedly said there were no survivors. And the tunnel began to flood.
Oh.
There were workers still in the tunnel.
Oh, they were.
Mm-hmm. And they found them on a raft they had made floating. They had suffocated from the gas.
Oh, how sad. Ugh.
Well, I've read that suffocating from gas kind of messes with you, so you just kind of fall asleep a lot of the time.
I've heard that too.
Like, yeah, it's one of the, you just kind of go and then fall asleep because your body your brain is getting oxygen, and then you go.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, Glenn Johann, a correspondent for the North Adams Transcript. Adams was one of the towns this tunnel was going toward. During the time the miners were missing, villagers told strange tales of vague and shapes and muffled wails near the water-filled pit. Workmen claimed to see lost miners carrying picks and shovels through a shroud of mist and snow at the mountaintop. So this is when the hauntings begin.
Ooh. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely see that.
So, in 1868, the site was examined by one Paul Travers, a respected mechanical engineer and a Civil War officer. Now, some of you don't know, the Civil War was really bad. It was probably the worst war America ever fought. close up there with World War II and World War One. It was really nasty. So be a World War veteran meant you were tough. Really tough.
A Civil War veteran?
Civil War veteran. Well, a veteran of any war is probably tough, but next level toughness, probably. And he wrote a letter to his sister about the weird experience he had. He went there with a mechanical engineer named Dunn at 9 p.m. They traveled around the shaft and stopped to listen. They stood there in the silence, and they heard what sounded like a man groaning out as pain. And he knew that sound from the war. And when they churned up the wicks on their lanterns, because what you did is you cranked up the wicks so there'd be more light burning, they couldn't find anything.
Oh.
So in the middle of the night, what they heard was someone actually moaning, and a veteran who knows that sound of a man in pain.
But no one was there.
And he thought it was Nash and Brinkman.
Which one was that again?
Nash and Brinkman, the two men blown up by the nitro
gas. Oh, okay.
And then in 1874, a local hunter, Frank Webster, vanished. And 3 days later, they found him in a state of shock. And he said he had heard strange voices ordering him into the Hoosac Tunnel. And then he saw ghostly figures wandering about. And then one of them took his rifle and beat him over the head with it.
Ooh, mean ghost.
Mean ghost. And then they and then they couldn't find his rifle after that.
Wow.
And then Joseph Impoco, a former employee of the Boston Main Railroad, he believes there's some truth to this because he worked there and a ghost tunnel. He claims that tunnel ghost saved his life 2 times.
Oh, so that was the nice ghost.
This was a nice ghost, and this happened 100 years later in 1970s.
So maybe they got over it.
Maybe they got over. Maybe they were just good workers. Because in between all this time, too, workers kept seeing footprints in the ground. They kept seeing dead friends. They saw them shadows, and they kept seeing like. So that those two incidents I brought up were just two of many records of hauntings.
Wow.
So there are lots and lots of times and records of these of workers saying that they heard noises, sounds of people drowning. After everything had been deflated and they were working on the tunnel, they kept seeing shadows in the light of men holding pickaxes and wandering around like they didn't know they were there.
Wow.
People calling out to them. So,
that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Very crazy. So Mr. Impoco's story. Impoco told reporters that he was chipping ice from one of the tracks when he heard someone say, "Run, Joe, run." And then he turned around, and number 6 train was coming at him. And he jumped out of there just in time.
Oh, that gives me chills.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And literally inches or feet from him, and he said there was no one around him.
Oh, I got the goosebumps right now. Oh, boy.
And then... And then 6 weeks later, he was using an iron crowbar to free freight cars. They were on the icy tracks, and then someone screamed, "Drop it, Joe, drop it." He dropped this crowbar, and it was instantly struck and smashed against the tunnel by 11,000 volts electricity because a short power line had short-circuited and hit the tunnel train.
Wow. Well, whoever that ghost was, Joe...
Looked out for Joe.
A lot. Yeah.
He actually visits the tunnel every year.
Oh, does he really?
Thank the ghost.
Whoever you are, thank you.
There's lots of these instances over and over and over again with the Hoosac Tunnel. Now I'm done telling you about some of the spooky stories. First thing, do not go in the tunnel. It's still an active tunnel. Dozens of trains go through it every day. People do jump in there and try to see around, but it's dangerous. So be careful.
It's not for pedestrians.
It's not for pedestrians. It's not for looky-loos, for lack of a better term.
It's just for freight trains.
Mm-hmm.
Do conductors of freight trains ever get freaked out going through that tunnel?
Probably. Probably. You know, actually, there's a really, really good short story called The Signalman by Charles Dickens. And I'll link a YouTube show in the show notes to it. Because I know of a really good animated version of the short story. It's really spooky. Reminds me of this a lot.
That I think any kind of tunnel is inherently spooky.
Yeah.
And then you've got this kind of history and those kind of ghost sightings. That's right up there.
Yeah, hundreds of people died making that tunnel.
Hundreds?
Hundreds.
Jeez, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, at least it's still being used today, and at least...
It probably saved a lot of lives.
Yeah.
Because people would probably froze trying to travel over those mountains.
I'm sure they did.
And while I was doing the research, of course, you know who, Bedtime Stories, shout out to that YouTube channel. They also have a video on this. Because they do a great job. They're Bedtime Stories, and they cover a lot of the spooky stuff I love, and we'll find out about, type an episode, do research on it, and then boom, they've already done it. It's happened 4 or 5 times. So if you like this stuff...
So you're like-minded.
We're like-minded. If you like this stuff, though, go visit their channel, because they go into it in a lot more detail.
I don't know that I'd sleep so well.
Oh, it's terrifying. I don't know why he calls it Bedtime Stories. He should call it Morning Stories, because they wake you up and freak you out.
Yeah, those are the kind of stories that I generally fall asleep to. I need something light and fluffy.
Yeah. Speaking of fluffy, we've got our mascot dog here.
Oh, he's so cute. He's ready for COVID to be over, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that going to wrap it up for the Hoosac Tunnel in Montana?
That is
going to
wrap it up.
Where in Montana is that, do you know?
No, not Montana. Massachusetts.
Oh, Massachusetts. I could have sworn you said Montana.
Did I say Montana?
I think you said Montana.
Okay, well.
Okay, it's Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, as I was saying.
Whoops.
Whoopsie. Oh, well. Right along. So what are we doing over next week? I hear no one asking. Next week, I want to go over the last Viking, Harald Hardrada.
The last one?
He was the last
one. Sure about that?
Yes.
Okay.
I literally, Pistorius really pointed, that's the last one right there.
All right. I'm excited to hear about the last Viking.
He is pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
He ought to be.
Yeah. So, I will put notes in the show notes. I even have a link to what one of those tunnel diggers looked like. They were huge. I love that it broke after 10 feet. This thing was a problem from the beginning. This tunnel just did not,
want to be built.
Did not want to be built.
It's like, sorry, guys, you're going to have to work for this.
There's rumors like, you know, Hoosac in the local native people's words. It doesn't mean anything bad. I think it just means like the mountains over there or something. But people, you know, there's a lot of fake Hoosac tunnel stories. I had to dig deep to find ones that were repeated and had a lot of evidence behind them. So, anyways.
Well, that's very interesting, kind of scary, and kind of sad, like you said.
And if you find yourself wandering down the Hoosac Tunnel and you hear someone moaning in pain, run out and don't look back.
I agree.
And remember,
if it weren't for history, we wouldn't be here. Good night, everybody.